good afternoon or good evening or good morning, of course, depending on what time you're listening to us. This is Farringdon Radio, and we've got a corny phrase. We've got a packed programme for you today. We got Sjoerd Vocht talking about the Pink Pigeon Trust and how we could perhaps make Farringdon a little more interesting, a little more sororal, as he calls it. We got Jenny Webb talking about Farringdon.org. We all know what she does, but do we know how she does it and how long she's been running the organisation? So a bit more information from Jenny Webb there. And talking to Sam and Hillary about the circus in town. Now they bring music, art and dance, etc. Sort of development from their MAD organisation. And a bit more information about this year's Farringdon Festival. Note, Farringdon Festival, not Arts Festival. But going to our first subject, we're going to be talking to Sjoerd Vocht, who's the chair of the Farringdon Pink Pigeons Trust, and he'll be telling us about how that got off the ground, what its aims are and its achievements so far. I'm with Sjoerd Vocht, who's, again, as mentioned before, one of many hats he's wearing, is involved in the Pink Pigeon Trust. Sjoerd, could you just tell me how the Pink Pigeon Trust got off the ground and what's it all about?
Oh, morning, Sean. Yes, Pink Pigeons. Well, we really need to go back to one of our more illustrious forebears in Farringdon, mm-hmm. and that is none other than Lord Berners, right, or okay. to use his full name, Hugh Gerald Tyrwhitt Wilson, 14th Baron Berners. he lived for the last 30 years in Farringdon, last 30 years of his life, mm-hmm. until 1950. And in Farringdon House, mm-hmm. He handed over to his gay lover, there's a story behind that, of course, Heber mm-hmm. Percy, who then continued the tradition that Berners had started. And Berners is quite a package. He was not mm-hmm. only a polymath, very good artist, composer, mm-hmm. And writer, but he was also, and I'm now quoting from one of the biographies, the last great eccentric.
So you're aiming to capitalise and build on that eccentricity to develop the idea behind the Pink Pigeon Trust then?
That's exactly right, and I haven't yet explained why it's called the Pink Pigeons Trust, but certainly you've got the nail on the head there. Yeah. It's, in a sense, our purpose is to bring the spirit of Lord Berners back to life, mm-hmm. and everything that that represents, including one of the things that he's known for, which is that he dyed his flock of white fan-tailed doves
right.
bright colours of the rainbow, including pink. We picked the colour pink for the name of this particular group/association because clearly that then links with his gayness.
Sure.
Gay having a double meaning, meaning mm-hmm. fun, and so on. And quoting directly from Berners, you know, mistrust a man that doesn't show the occasional flash of silliness.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what would you say the aims of the Trust are? What is it you're setting out to achieve, and over what period of time do you think?
Right, short, medium, long term. We would set out, long term first, to make Farringdon the sururalist capital of England.
Sururalist.
Sururalist as okay. opposed to surrealist.
Right, okay.
So you've got this absolutely wonderful idea of the community/urban-rural mm-hmm, partnership, mm-hmm. but then this element of silliness, which of course is represented by Berners. And I should say, I don't know if you've heard the story of the giraffe that Berners had to tea.
Ever so vaguely.
He used to play his clavichord in his Rolls Royce. That's possibly right. another story that
yes,
you might have heard.
Again, another one of those rumours you hear of. Right. As if he had a special space built in his car for it.
Right. Interestingly, neither of those two stories ever happened. He never did have a giraffe to tea.
Right.
He never did play his clavichord in his Rolls Royce, but when others perhaps hinted that this might have happened, he didn't deny it.
Right,
and in other words, yeah. he was actually being playful with his neighbours pretty much all the time. Mm. And I think that's really that what we're trying to capture mm-hmm. also, this fun of actually not taking yourself too seriously, if you like. And we as a whole community, the whole community of Farringdon, feel that that's something worth celebrating and, in fact, embracing as our identity. In other words, the surrealist capital of England.
That sounds like a wonderful idea to sort of show an interest in the town, isn't it, and attract attention to the town. So what particular specific things are you working on or have you achieved so far, maybe?
Yeah, well, some things are very cheap. Being silly is cheap. Or don't cost much. Other things obviously are much longer term and do cost a lot of money. For example, works of art. You could have 5,000, 10,000 commissions you need to apply for funding and so on and so forth. So all of that is ongoing.
Right.
And in fact, there is now a work of art that was commissioned last month that's very close to the Folly, up on Folly Hill, which celebrates one of our other illustrious forebears, Henry James Pye, the worst poet laureate ever.
Yeah.
So those things cost money. They're slightly longer term. You're thinking of sculpture trails. You're thinking of sculptures and surrealist works of art in prominent places around the town. But other things cost very little. So, for example, last year at the Farringdon Arts Festival, you may remember that it actually had a Berners theme, partly because of the Pink Pigeons Trust. One of the things that we did was turn Budgeons into a supermarket. Excuse me, the wrong way around here. there we go. Budgeons, that would be very surreal, wouldn't it?
In the current climate, when we're looking for another two as well, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's about time it became a supermarket. But, no, this time, we turned it into a theatre.
Right,
and we actually held the world's first play reading, which, in fact, was about the life of Lord Berners, written by an American playwright who came over and so on. We had a number of other Berners linked events and festivals and so on, which all were very low budget.
Sure.
One thing that you may possibly have noticed is that there is a process of rediscovering some of the signs that Berners originally put up in the 30s in particular.
Yes, I think I've seen one or two of these around town already.
Yeah, and these, of course, are all signs that Berners put up. But nonetheless, from old photos, you can then see that there must have been something there. Perhaps you chip away at the plaster. And then, for example, in the marketplace, there's one that says, I think it's something like, do not throw stones at this notice.
Right.
So,
yes,
in other words, it's frivolous. It's completely unnecessary. And that's why it exists, which, of course, is exactly why Berners built the tower, for example.
Oh, the tower, of course, and that's part, you're sort of so integral to the tower as well, and in relation to that being an emblem of Farringdon, in respect, isn't it? Is a piece of art in itself.
Well, in fact, it's a very odd piece of art when the architects look at it and they realise that it's a complete dog's breakfast. But again, that was Berners being playful. And yes, that is iconic of Farringdon. That, of course, is also created by our surrealist friend Berners and so on and so forth. The Pink Pigeons Trust is a loose body, if you like, of pretty much anyone who wants to be silly. But then, of course, there's also a, let's call it a committee that meets quite regularly and gets things done. And that has representation from the Tourist Information Centre, from the Art Society, from the Sculpture Group, from the Friends of the Farringdon Folly we've already mentioned, from Farringdon.org, and of course also the decision makers, both town, district, county, and even national level. We have
one
of the members on the committee is, in fact, the Minister for Culture and Communications, Ed Vasey, who...
Oh, right. Well, that's nice to have that support, isn't it? If local people, people who perhaps can't commit to, work, like a committee type level of work, what could people of Farringdon do to support the Pink Pigeon Trust?
Think as if you are Berners and then kind of take ownership over silliness and surreal and playfulness and having fun. And I think that identity, both for individuals and for the whole community, is something that just makes you smile, makes you want to get up in the morning, makes you feel proud of the town, makes tourists want to come to the town, and so on and so forth. So I think, first and foremost, we all take individual ownership and responsibility over being silly sometimes. Then, of course, there is this wider responsibility, if you like, to be part of making Farringdon, as I say, this surrealist capital of England and the world.
So the gauntlet is thrown down. We all have to be a little bit more silly with the purpose of showing off the best of what Farringdon has to offer and creating a bit more as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well said, yes.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that, Stuart. I appreciate your time, mate.
Thanks, Sean. Keep up the good work with Farringdon Radio.
Thank you. Cheers.
It just sort of makes you wonder how, well, he gets all the time to do all these things, doesn't it, really? But that was Stuart Vock talking about the Pink Pigeons Trust. And if you want to find a little bit more, there are a number of websites, really. There's the Pink Pigeons Trust at Facebook and also pinkpigeons.information. And if you want to find something a little bit surreal or a little bit unusual that happened here in Farringdon, if you go onto YouTube and type in Flash Mob Farringdon, you'll find out something rather unusual that happened down at Budgeon's the other week. Spread the word if you like it. Spread the word and tell everybody else and let everybody else have an entertaining moment, really, about what happened in Farringdon Budgeon's the other week. On this show, we've got no real genuine Farringdon connections with the music we're playing. But this music I like, and this first band called the Mountain Parade, I'm not too sure how I've come across them, really. They're an Oxford Bristol band, folk, contemporary folk with lots of extra instruments in there. But as I'm recording this show, it's a lovely, absolutely lovely spring day. Are we still in spring? We're not in summer yet, are we? No, I don't think so. And this one's called Bottom of the Sea. A particularly happy song, I think, actually.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, having looked at their MySpace and their Facebook site, it doesn't look as if they're particularly active at the moment, which is, I think, is a great shame. They should... who knows what they're up to, what their life's consisting of at the moment. But anyway, that was the Mountain Parade, and a song of theirs called Bottom of the Sea. Now, I think many of us, or probably most of us in town, probably know Hillary and Sam, or Sam and Hillary, depending which way you want to put it. Used to run MAD, Music, Arts, Dance and Drama, held in a number of locations around the town. Now got the circus in town, which is a similar sort of thing, really, bringing different types of entertainment into the town. And I caught up with them last week, had a chat and discussed what they're doing with the circus in town and also their involvement with this year's Farringdon Festival.
Yeah, well, I'm sat here with Sam and Hillary. Welcome to chat to them about the circus in town, which is their new vehicle for promoting music and other events here in town as well. So can you just tell us a bit of a background about the circus and what it is you're trying to achieve and develop with this?
The circus in town, it comes from the open mic sessions we used to do in the Corn Exchange. And that was really all to do with the thing from the Farringdon Community College through John West.
Mm-hmm.
Who asked if we would like to do something with the older part members of the college so as they could perform outside of the college and get a feel for it, what it's like outside.
Right, I see.
Now that we're no longer at the
Corn
Exchange.
History, which we're not, as we said, we will not touch on today.
No, that's true.
That's for a later story.
Yes. so we wondered what to do next. And the venues are very limited in Farringdon. So we thought that we would convert one of our stage coverings to be an outside stage just by adding tarpaulins really to it. And so the first one of that is going to happen at the Portwell Angel Courtyard, as we call it now, on Friday the 13th of May.
Friday the 13th, an auspicious day, as they say, is it?
Well, it is really, but there you go.
that's a good omen then. That's a good omen.
I'm not so sure.
So your first one, and you're not just focusing on music, are you? So what is it you bring into your first one?
Well, the first one will be quite a bit of music, obviously, but there is a comedy theatre group coming from Oxford who are called Oxford Comedy Theatre Death Watch or something like that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ad hoc thing. They'd make up these things.
Improvisers, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, improvise,
So it's... I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah.
What does happen on
that sounds good. Is this going to be a free event, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's a free event. It's at the back of the Portwell Angel. And it starts at 8 o'clock.
And do you have anything else lined up for a few months down the line or anything?
Well,
or
is this the idea of,
just testing the water? Or?
Well, we've done one in the Crown before, one at the Bell. But this seems to be a logical move to do it outside, especially as the summer is coming on. Hopefully we'll be able to move it around to different places.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far, obviously, but certainly either Wantage, Abingdon, perhaps Oxford with the link up with the theatre company. And other places, Highworth maybe as well.
Oh, right.
So that's a general idea, to actually use it as like a travelling circus.
Yeah. Oh, great. That sounds wonderful.
Present.
Okay.
I know in the past, some of the things you've been trying to do is encourage the youth in town, some of our older teenagers to be involved, but now you just a slight change of focus with that. Is that different market you're aiming for? Is that right?
Not precisely, because what we started off with was anybody who is interested in performing on stage, unpaid, for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that ran from, I think our youngest was something like 13, 14 year old, and they went up to 60 something year olds.
Oh, right. So you just got a broad spectrum there, really, haven't you?
Huge spectrum of people, with or without experience. And we did discover, through the course of when we were doing it at the Corn Exchange, that some people who'd never ever been on stage before that went on there like rabbits, basically, because we did it on a monthly basis, they then matured, and now some of them have gone off in different directions. and are performing in
so it's encouraging
places.
People to get up and have a go,
anybody,
really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It doesn't just have to be young people. Just anybody.
So if anybody wants to get in touch, is there a website for the circus in town? I know your mad site's gone now, but are you... what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Either on Facebook, through Mad.
Facebook,
it's on Mad. It comes up as Mad.
It's still Mad on Facebook, then, is it? Okay.
So, and that should have all the
up-to-date things. Can we just clarify as well that Mad is music, art, dance, drama?
Yes.
We're not complete nutters.
No,
well,
no.
We are.
M-A-double-D on Facebook.
Yes.
Great, okay. Right, okay. That's wonderful. But just before we go, can you just tell us? I understand you're also going to be involved in the Farringdon Festival. It's just called the Farringdon Festival
this,
now, isn't
this
it?
This year, it was the Farringdon Arts Festival, but it was felt amongst the main committee members that perhaps we should change it to be just the Farringdon Festival.
Right.
So that has happened.
But what's your involvement going to be? Is it again with as part of the circus, effectively? Is that going to be your main...
I think what we'll do this time, it will be a similar type of thing to the circus, but we will run it as Mad Stage.
Right, okay.
Because it will be a secondary stage to the main stage, which happens in the in the Market Square.
Yeah.
And that will be based up at the back of the Portwell.
Okay.
A smaller stage, but then that will be open for anybody to come along and perform on it.
Right. What, as an open mic turn up on the day,
As an open mic thing, or get in touch with us, preferably beforehand, so as we've got some idea of programming.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
And we will run that from the Saturday through to the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody's welcome. And also, we're not going to put a strict time limit on it. I think if anybody wants to perform up to about 45 minutes or something like that, that's fine. But if somebody wants to get up and do just one number of that, that's fine too.
Great, okay, that's wonderful.
And also... we are looking for people, we will be involved in just simply running it. We need stewards, we need people who can give half an hour, a couple of hours, whatever, over 18-year-olds being responsible, monitoring, whatever.
Right, okay.
And they are very, very difficult to find.
Yes, okay, all right. We'll put the message out. Well, hopefully they'll be... They should be reading Facebook. Yeah, they started it, I think, didn't they, that age group? So hopefully they will be. And that's the best way still to get in touch with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Through Facebook.
Yep.
All right, great. Well, thanks again for your time and great success in the future with the circus and this year's Farringdon Festival.
Yes.
Get it right.
Just to confirm the details there, the next event for the circus in town is the Oxford Comedy Deathmatch Improv Comedy Group, which will be playing at the Farringdon Portwell Angel Courtyard, which is a courtyard just behind the Portwell Angel in the marketplace. There'll be other acts on as well. But if you want to get in touch with Sam and Hilary, if you want to find out what's going on and how you can hopefully support them, particularly with this year's Arts Festival, keep calling it this year's festival. The best thing is Sam Prince through Facebook, and they're definitely looking for volunteers to help them along there. Now, a few of you, one or two of you may know, every so often I go off on what I call a little bimble. I go bimbling around the countryside. I take all the back seats out of my car and I just load up some bits and pieces, sleeping bag, etc., disappear off for 4 or 5, maybe 6, a week maybe or so, and actually go camping in my car. I take my guitar, my little cube amp, I do a bit of busking. Don't earn much money, mind, but then again, it's all for my art, really. And last year I also ended up doing a gig at the Globe Theatre. It was the Globe at Hay on Wye, but hey, you know, it was still the Globe Theatre. And I turned up there, so they've got a lovely cafe in there, and I enjoyed myself. I had a little coffee and cakes and whatever, and found out there was a band playing that night. And I asked the sound man before they were setting up, and I said, "Do you got a support act?" And they said, "No." I volunteered myself, thrust myself at him, and said, "Oh, can I be the support act?" So, yeah, signed up, went in. Wasn't there to steal the thunder of the band. It was their gig, their event. A band called Hail the Plains, who are from Cardiff and Swansea area, I think. Oh, I should know that. I should know a bit better. But anyway, they were the main band of the evening. I had a quick word with them before they went on. I said, look, I'm not here to steal your thunder. This is your gig. I'm just going to do whatever time you're on. I'll just play, you know, 20 minutes or 25 minutes beforehand and then hand over to you. To which they said, no, that's fine. That's fine. We've only got 9 songs, so sing as much as you want. I could have played all evening, but I didn't. It was their gig. But anyway, this is one of their songs, a band called Hail the Plains, one of their songs called Tree Creeper. Thank you. Well, if that doesn't make you happy, I think you're dead from the neck down. I don't know. It's a lovely song. That's Tree Creeper from Hail the Plains. And I'll just check, they are actually from Cardiff. Quite a busy band over that there away, I think. Anyway, worth checking out their websites and Facebook, and they've got a number of releases. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, it's our fourth, a third item for this show. I went to have a word with Jenny Webb. Now, we all know what she does, or do we? We all know what she's achieved, anyway, with Farringdon.org. But I thought you'd get a bit more of a background behind it, and how, with her friend Hillary, how she set it, how they set it up. And also, really, as a, you will be quite clear, still looking for lots more people submitting items. So Farringdon.org is still active, but anybody got anything else out there, please do tell Jenny a lot more about it, because she's very interested to hear from you. But anyway, here's our interview with Jenny Webb from Farringdon.org.
I'm sat here with Jenny Webb, who co-founded Farringdon.org. And Jenny, I'm just trying to find out about how you got the site off the ground, and what was your motivation behind getting it going, really?
Well, it was a friend of mine, Hill Taylor, and I, almost simultaneously, we thought, about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. we thought Farringdon needs a website. So Hill set to and learnt HTML.
All right, yeah.
And as a graphic designer, she designed the sort of look and feel of the site. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did all the data collection. So I got all the paper directories for businesses and clubs and stuff like that, and typed it all in.
Right, okay, all on your own.
Pretty much. It was a lot of work.
Sure.
But we wanted it to be sort of the one-stop shop, really,
sure,
for information about Farringdon, for people in the town, and also people who perhaps are wanting to come to Farringdon, either as a visitor or as a potential resident.
And how did you decide the categories to work to? You've got about five or six categories, the talking points, what's on, and the history section, I think it's called the archive, or whatever it is.
That's right. Well, I suppose we just thought about what there was around Farringdon. I mean, it's not really... that wasn't a difficult thing to do.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think what was more difficult is where some items actually could appear in more than one place.
Sure, right.
And because of our technology, we either don't do that if we can help it, because then you have lots of places to update, you see.
Sure.
Or we cross-refer, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, history is evident, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Farringdon's full of history. For residents, we've got a directory of all the clubs and organisations in the town. Mm-hmm. We had businesses, but that's on the Farringdon focus.
You've handed that over to the focus on Farringdon people.
That's right, yeah, because we thought they would be better place to actually
make use of that. Yeah, more so the Chamber of Commerce,
etc.,
aren't they?
Right,
yeah.
Places to go in and around Farringdon. So we were trying to encourage visitors to look at it and see what was around. And then we needed some active areas.
Right.
Those I've described are fairly static, if you think about
yes,
it.
Yeah.
So we needed active areas, and that's where the talking points came along. So people can...
great success, I would say, really, isn't it?
It's, as long as it's not too rude.
No.
Publish it.
Well, we will put our hands in your editing skills.
Sometimes I get it wrong, but mostly people are not abusive or too critical.
One question on there, and I think you do more or less manage that the idea of not abusive or critical, but I haven't noticed any problems with it. There are quite a few people who still wish to appear anonymous.
Yes.
And I sometimes think, all right, if it's a sort of a comment they're making, but sometimes when they're having a bit of a dig at somebody's business in town or somebody, you think, well, hang on, stand up and be counted if you're going to have a go. I mean, would you reconsider that policy or something?
Well,
I mean, all right, you obviously know who the people are because they're not
absolutely.
Allowed to submit. But we don't. And so
I
think,
Well, I think that's got its strengths and its weaknesses, really. I think if we insisted on names, then lots of people would be deterred by that.
Yes.
And they have their own reasons why they don't want to put their name to it. Or they'd make up a name.
Yeah, well, quite. Obviously, you could make up a name, yes.
Yeah. So I think, well, I secretly would like people to put their names to things. then we accept that some people don't want to. And sometimes I feel there's the most innocent comment, but it's still name supplied that's wanted. Which, and so I think, you know, it'd be nice if people were a bit braver.
It would, but it still gets the communication going and the chat going, isn't it? Which is what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And that seems to work.
So there's other areas too. Mm-hmm. There's a guest book where people from all over the world have written into, and sometimes they've made contact with people that they've been trying to find. I started a section not so long ago called Memories of Farringdon, and some people have written in with memories about their school days and things that went on in the town, which is really nice. I'd really love more people to write to that. And I also started a section called Remembering Farringdonians.
Oh, right.
And so for people who have died, relatives can send me the name and the dates and maybe some sort of message. And I'd like that to be taken up more, because I think, you know, I mean the web is amazing, isn't it? Because people from far away can look at it and think, oh, I used to know that chap, you know, and how sad.
Well, it's a good repository of information. It's going to be there forever, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As long as the servers keep going, it's always going to be there, isn't
right,
it?
That's right. Yeah. We've got good history on there, which we've gathered from various places. Some of it's a bit sort of high level, but it gives a taste for all about Farringdon. And one place which I think is brilliant, a couple in Farringdon took it upon themselves since the 70s to go around and photograph any changes in the town.
Oh, right, yes.
And they generously gave me the photographs.
Wow.
And so they're now on the website. So you can look to see all the businesses that were around in the 1970s and what the properties looked like. And that's real history, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's only, 30, 40 years, and the changes, I've seen those photographs, the changes, quite significant, isn't it, really? You see the number of shops that just, and business types that have disappeared that we don't have anymore.
Yes.
You know, the number of pubs that have gone.
Absolutely.
Butchers and et cetera, fish shop.
Yeah. So it's going to be, it's building and building over time to be a real sort of resource for historical interest. And all the talking points messages are on there, for instance.
Yes.
I don't delete them, I just put them into an archive. So you could look back 10 years and see what the issues were.
See, we're still talking about parking again in 10 years.
And supermarkets and dog
crap. Yeah, absolutely. We will be. With all those, maybe just sticking to talking points, I don't know. Are there any highlights or aspects of, I remember when we talked about this, it went on for months, or any particular subject matters that seem to stick in your mind as particularly memorable or anything? Or
The most recent, of course, is supermarkets.
Yes.
That has to be. Looking back, it's hard. I mean, that we've parking is always one that comes up. There was a lot of stuff, I think, when the town council were doing the pump house.
All
the costs associated with that, and whether we really needed it, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's democracy in a sense, isn't it? It's another aspect that we perhaps miss out on if we didn't have this opportunity.
And what's kind of good now is that the town council will use the website, which I think is really good.
Mm.
I don't think the district councillors do so much, or at least they don't make any comment
on
there. And I kind of would like that to happen.
Well, it is a shame.
But I guess their ability to speak freely is possibly more limited than.
Well, for elected people, they should be allowed to stand again. Should we expect them to stand? I mean, MPs, politicians can't wait to get their voice heard, can they? So I find it really strange that a local councillor, whether it's local town or district, should be hesitant on that.
Yeah,
really.
They don't seem to engage with the way. They might look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't engage with it in the way certainly some of the town councillors do. So I'm quite pleased that the town councillors do that, because it makes them more aware of what people think, doesn't it?
How much time would you say you spend managing? I mean, you say you started it with Hill, but it's now mainly.
It's me that mainly does the updating.
Okay. Yeah, so how much time would you spend? Do you say you?
Well, talking points and what's on.
Yeah.
And those sort of live bits, I would say I do. If I'm here, I do something every day, and it can be from 1/4 of an hour to an hour and a half.
Mm.
I mean, sometimes I do it two or three times a day because there's an issue that keeps...
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I believe that it needs to be sort of constantly updated so that people keep going back to look at it.
Mm.
You know, so my guests... 4, 5, 6 hours a week at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm putting on something that is more substantial and I have to arrange the page and write the text and put the pictures in and all of that stuff, and I'm not very good at it, so it takes me a long time.
I know the feeling.
I get it wrong often.
I know the feeling. I do think, and it goes all squiggly. And
yes,
think, why has that happened?
Yes, that's right. So it is quite a commitment.
Mm.
And as I said to you earlier, maybe one day Hill and I will want somebody else to take this on. Yeah, maybe.
Well, hopefully many years to come, not yet. But you're still looking for significant contributions coming in. You're always eager. You're not, despite the hours you put in, you're still eager for people to keep,
Absolutely.
Keep active and sending things in.
Yes, and certainly the events, I think, is important. And we've talked about talking points, people's comments. Yeah. I kind of like people. My suspicion is that people whiz in there, look at talking points, and whiz out again.
Mm.
What I'd really like is for some people to spend perhaps half an hour, up to half an hour, gazing around the site, just sort of surfing it, as it were, and seeing where maybe they could add some more information I don't know, generate a bit more sort of activity in those other areas. Because there's lots not on there
that
I don't know about.
What sort of gaps would you say there are? Could you identify where the gaps might be?
Probably some historical things.
Right.
Maybe some of the club's information.
Right.
I mean, I put the information on. I rely on those clubs to tell me
and update
if things
you
have changed. Absolutely.
Contact details and things
absolutely.
Like that. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Jenny, for your continued commitment in running Farringdon.org, and wish you great success for the continued success for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I think we're very, very lucky here in Farringdon. I don't think there are many towns that I'm aware of that have this level of information regularly maintained and effectively maintained for the benefit of everybody. And Talking Points, an amazing success, really. It keeps everybody in touch, in contact, and find out what's going on. So, and also, as Jenny says there, please do send her more information. Although she's busy, she'd love to hear from more people, particularly historical informations and stuff about local clubs, more contact details, so it's more up to date. Well, just before we go to our last song, that's just a bit of a roundup of bits and pieces and events that are going on in Farringdon, or just in the Farringdon area. As mentioned earlier on Friday the 13th, the Circus in Town are bringing the Oxford Comedy Deathmatch Improv Group to the Portwell Angel Courtyard. Improvisation. I think the idea is you throw subject matters at them and they have to make a little story or come up with some comedy sketch relating to the ideas that you've thrown at them. Next weekend, Saturday, Sunday, 14th or 15th, is the Great Coxwell Art Week, where there'll be art throughout the villages, and also says here, delicious lunches and teas will be also served. And particularly on Sunday the 15th, now I've got to pronounce this correctly, I'm going to get it wrong anyway, but it says here, Kaviria. I think it's a group of people, not an individual. Spine-tingling unaccompanied harmonies from the Republic of Georgia, fresh from their rapturously received performance at the 2011 Cheltenham Poetry Festival. And they're going to be singing at various locations around the village between 1:30 and 4 on Sunday the 15th in Great Coxwell Village. So 1:30 is the Dairy Gallery. 2:15, it's a stable studio. 3 o'clock, St Giles Church. And 3:30, the reading room. While also tea and homemade cakes will be available as well. So it's delicious lunches and teas and homemade cakes. Well, that's enough to invite me, if nothing else anyway. And also on Thursday the 13th is the Farringdon Thursday Memorial Cup. Special football arrangement, tournament. Organised by associated with Farringdon Town Football, but as a separate organisation really, and you'll hear a little bit more about this in the next show where I interviewed Dave Gosling. But this is a special fundraising charity event in memory of the football team that used to play up until the war, used to be shopkeepers and assistants, etc. Used to have the Thursday afternoon off, and therefore had a football team that just played just on Thursdays. And this is in memory of them, because this will be the 60th anniversary of the establishment of this memorial trophy. So that's Thursday the 19th, being played at the Farringdon Town Football Ground at 7 p.m. Now, okay, our last piece of music, really. And a couple of weeks ago, I went down, a mate of mine, Neil Dwerryhouse, and a number of people who know him in town, and we went down to the Port Mahon, which is in St. Clement's, Oxford, for an open mic session. Unfortunately, it did go reasonably well, but it was one of those open mics that unplugged. Which is all very well if everybody sat there patiently and quietly and attentively listening. But if not, you can end up straining your voice and nobody beyond the third table or second table even can actually hear you. But there you go. That's the way these things go. Except this chap I'm going to play. I suspect he was probably a regular there because as soon as he got up and picked up his guitar and he played the quietest song in the evening, everybody went deathly hush quiet. A lovely song, just him on his guitar. This is Michael Lee, but now this is him with his full band. He went over to, I think it's Texas actually, or somewhere in America. He did introduce, said he's now playing songs from his new album, Face Forward, and he went over to Texas. I'm making Texas up. I don't know. He went over to somewhere in America and spent quite a bit of money. Hired some great professional musicians, guitarists from the Goo Goo Dolls. I got this wrong way round, and also somebody, I think it was a drummer or keyboard player from Prince's band, and also helped him out on putting this album together. So anyway, this is Michael Lee with his song from Face Forward, and this song called Youth.
myself, accepting the rules, settled in skin. Even though I'm foolish sometimes, I say, oh my God, I guess this is the end. Oh, this is the end.